šta mu misli, šta...
A eto, nekim slučajem sam naišla na ove vaše videe.
Na bilen da to zvajnije.
Da ti budeš čovjek koji klanja, koji posti, koji zikri, koji uči Kur'an, to je sve dobro za tebe. To je sve dobro za tebe. Ali druga stvar je da ti kod sebe imaš svijest da druge ljude pozivaš tom hajru na kojem se ti nalaziš. Mi često kažemo ljudima, islam je najveća blagodat koju nam je Allah podario. Šta si uradio da ta islam...
And then, in their lives, and when he saw that she opened the light and tweet, he wake up.
His name, Ayman Hamami, he basically was in North Africa. He traveled to Honduras. I think he was a lawyer. He learned Spanish from what I remember for the sake of Allah to do da'wah. Then he's engaging with his da'wah. I believe he's using his own finances to invest in the da'wah. He's on his own kind of thing. He eventually gets married to the former vice president's daughter. I think she becomes Muslim. To cut a long story short, we engage with him. He becomes one of our outreach specialists. He's doing some amazing, phenomenal work. Then we fund a center. It's the IRS center in Honduras, and it was opened by his father-in-law, who was the former vice president of the country. Not just this. He couldn't do Jumu'ah there. Because in Jumu'ah, you have to have at least three people, right? So he can't do Jumu'ah. So what is he doing? Giving da'wah. After some time, the whole place is full of Muslims. New Muslims. Yeah. And many other stories. We have a story of brother, I think his name is Abu Bakr from the Philippines. We have about 9 outreach specialists in the Philippines now. He basically was running this masjid that the Saudis built. They built it and they left. They ran away. So he's like, what can I do? So the masjid is next to the sea. So he puts like a lighthouse on the minaret to help everybody, right? Because he's doing good deeds, helping his brothers and sisters in Islam and in humanity. He sets up a radio station in the masjid, giving da'wah to everyone in the area. Lots of people becoming Muslim from what they were telling me. Guess what happens? I think some Christian groups send some mercenaries to kill him. They go to kill him. Then they don't. They become Muslim because of his akhlaq and adab. Yeah? You got all of these amazing, phenomenal stories in the da'wah, honestly. And this is why... It's all about empowering these brothers. And there's so many of them all around the world. Take, for example, Salman Sugimoto, another outreach specialist of ours in Japan. He basically co-translated the Quran in the popular Japanese language. Because the language, Japanese has like three levels or three kind of, is formal Japanese, popular Japanese, or something like that. But there wasn't a Quran in the popular type of Japanese language. So he translated that. Now, who helps him to free up his time? It's da'wah organizations that help them and support them to do that amazing work. What other amazing stories do we have? We have Sister Nancy from Paraguay. She works for the government, I think in some kind of like home office thing or whatever. She basically was she changed Paraguay law because she had to have a passport with a hijab on it. And they changed the law, I believe, in order for her to have her hijab on the passport. She knows the language of the indigenous people. She gives da'wah to the indigenous people. And the indigenous people, you'd be so surprised. They have this old religion that sounds very similar to Islam. They do this tasbih, like 33 times they praise God. I think they do sajda. It's phenomenal. There's a book that you should read. It's called The Gospel of the Red Man. It was when the missionaries came over to the Latin America. They started writing accounts on the kind of indigenous religion. From what I remember, they used to do wudu in a river. They used to do sajda. They used to believe in one God. And I believe they used to fast as well. To show that, you know, these kind of Islamic things, you know, because we believe that Tawheed was from the beginning, right? So there's some phenomenal stories. And we're covering a lot of the countries in Latin America now, do some really good work. We have a center in Bolivia as well. But yeah, you need to come. I want you to come. You love it.
You will love it.
I think the studies are showing that book reading is going up because people had enough of using their phones. You can't do everything on your phone. It's very tiring, right?
Reading is a lot of
stress. Yes, very physical books is increased. Because I think
reading actual books.
No, not yet.
Right. So, bismillah. Because I'm a Balkan as well. So, yeah, my granddad's from northwest Greece,
yes,
which is 15 miles near Albania.
Okay.
Yeah. So my village is on a mountain.
Yeah. So it's got the same scenery. Yeah.
Chapter 41, verse 34. Good and evil are not the same. Repel by that which is better. And if there's hatred between two people, it will turn to intimate friendship. What's very interesting is Allah doesn't say repel evil. The Arabic repel is not followed by a direct object. So it's, Allah is trying to say to us, repel anything by that which is better. And what do the ulama say? They say that which is better is that which is more beautiful and that which is more ethical, more virtuous. But this is the crux of the matter here. The verse before is just about da'wah. Allah says in the Quran, and who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah, does righteous deeds, and says, I'm one of the Muslims. And then Allah says, good and evil are not the same, and he continues. So the characteristic of the du'at, of people who call to Islam, they must have hilm. Hilm means forbearance. You repel anything by that which is better.
I tell you a really good story, bro.
So outside a famous shopping center in London, there was this brother. And he was doing a dawah stall. A lady comes up to him and spits on his face. So what does he do? He smiles. He's smiling. He takes a tissue out. He's still smiling, from what I understand. And he wipes his face. And he gets another tissue. He gives it to her. Because her own dribble was on her face. She goes away. After some time, maybe days or weeks or months, she comes back. She becomes Muslim. And after some time, they get married. So I say to the sisters, if you want a good husband, spit on his face first. But it shows, if you look at the way he reacted. He reacted with patience, with sabr, with beauty, with virtue. Yeah? And look what happens, it opened that woman's heart.
We should do this more often. No, absolutely. I wish that we can, like, when are you in London next?